Yeah, boy, it's August 11th, and this is a premium podcast. Today, we're going to take a look at five things that we learned from Saved by the Bell that are going to help you in your auction draft this year. I know we don't normally do a theme-based podcast, but for the premium, what the hell? So, if you guys are ready, then I'm ready. Let's cock the hammer. It's time for action. All right, so like I said, we're going to learn five things from Saved by the Bell that are going to help you with your auction this year. The first one is proper money management. Proper money management. In season one, they call it the Lisa card. Lisa gets a reward for her like stellar report card. You know, Lisa, she's the brainy, well, one of the brainiacs, and they're the one that Screech loves. Anyways, Lisa gets her dad's credit card and goes way overboard, spends nearly $400. And when the payment on the card comes in, she tries to earn a bunch of money to pay it off really fast without her dad finding out. So eventually she gets a job, she learns a little over $100, and eventually she admits her mistake to her dad and begs him to punish her. Instead, of course, in a heartwarming family moment on a 90s sitcom, her dad tells her to keep her job and earn the money to pay it off fully. Now listen, your auction draft is not a 90s sitcom. You're going to need to come up with a way to develop a budget, to be flexible with your budget, to keep track of your budget so that you don't just get stuck with $1 guys on your bench, or you do what's even worse, overbidding on a guy and you don't have money and now there may be some consequences. For us, a few years ago, I upbid on Martavis Bryant and there was a lot of talk about a number 17 tattoo on my arse. It didn't actually get done. We were close to getting it done a couple of years ago in Dallas. But anyways, you don't want to be stuck in that situation either. So you got to prepare your budget. You got to make sure that you're flexible with that budget. You know how you're going to bob and weave. If you get a guy that, you know, a little over budget, or you save some money, where you're going to put that money into. You also want to make sure that you're keeping track of your budget. So if you're using My Sheets, that's all in there for you. You can keep track of it over on the right-hand side and make your adjustments as you go along. And then as you enter in your players along the player list, you have a double check there. So you have math happening twice to make sure that you're keeping yourself within budget so you don't overbid on a guy. In our leagues, you forfeit week one if you bid $3 and only had two. So you need to make sure you're keeping track of it. You need to make sure that you are being able to be flexible with it. And you have to come in with a couple of different budgets. So proper money management is lesson number one from Saved by the Bell. And remember, this isn't a heartwarming family 90s sitcom moment. This is your auction draft. Now, number two, trying to achieve perfection. So now in season two, there's an episode called Jesse's Song. And if you remember, Zach convinces Lisa and Kelly and Jesse to form a singing group, later called Hot Sunday. Anyways, Jesse soon becomes really busy with the group and pressures from rehearsing the music video. And she feels all this pressure mounting inside and she's got to study for a big test. So she starts taking caffeine pills to stay awake. All right. And then when Zach climbs into her bedroom window, like he always does, to take her to the performance, he finds her in bed. She's like all out of control and he takes the caffeine pills away from her and she ends up melting down. Now, remember, your auction isn't always about getting the guys that you want, not always trying to achieve perfection. Sometimes an auction is about letting go of those guys that you want. Sometimes it's about getting the guys that other people don't want. So in an auction, it's not about, I want, you know, Cam Akers in tier three as my running back. It's, I want a tier three running back. And if Cam Akers goes for too much in your draft, that's okay. Maybe you're going to end up with a guy that nobody wants within that tier. It's still more or less the same type of player. It's about the same type of fantasy points, but you're going to get the deal. You're going to get the savings on it. So don't always try to achieve perfection. Yeah, we talk about auction drafts a lot of times being these things where they're great because you get to get your own guys, but they're not. It's not always that case. It's about being flexible. It's about finding that auction you we talk about all the time. And if Cam Akers is your target and your only target and he goes off the tier first, you're going to have to overpay for him. So don't try to achieve perfection. Let the auction come to you. Make sure you find the tiers that you want to target, not necessarily the players you want to target, and let the draft come to you. Now, The third one is No Hope with Dope. Now, in season three, the episode called No Hope with Dope, there's this teen idol guy, I don't know, his name's Johnny Dakota. He stops by Bayside in order to scout the school for anti-drug commercial. Anyways, the school wins his approval, and he's going to perform this anti-drug rap, and he's committed to their school. While Zach and Slater discover marijuana in the bathroom, they discover that it actually belongs to Johnny. And later, Johnny tries to get Kelly to smoke, and then she refuses, and she's laughed at and mocked, okay? So there's No Hope with Dope. That's the name of that episode. So just in an auction draft, just know that there's no like perfect pill or perfect drug or perfect site or perfect sheet for your draft. This is about you doing the work. All right. This isn't about a magic site or a magic formula that's going to help you in your auction draft. In auction, you need to do the work. You can't be the dude walking in with the magazine under your arm. You can't be the guy that just prints off even our auction values just before and you walk in and think you're going to crush the draft. You need to create your own tiers. You need to get your own values ready because you might have some funky rules. You might have some funky roster settings in your league. So our values, for instance, although if you listen to our mock draft episode, we hit AAV almost every single time, within a dollar or two, especially with those big name guys, every single time. But if you got a little bit of a different rule setup or a different roster setup, then you're going to need to create your own values and your own tiers with those values. All right. And again, No Hope with Dope. There's no magic pill or no magic drug. You're going to have to be flexible too. All right. So getting our sheets, going to your favorite site, doing, you know, ADP based auction values, whatever the case may be, you need to be flexible. You need to put in the work. If you're not putting in the work, you're not going to crush that draft. All right. So No Hope with Dope. You got to make sure that you're ready to go. You're not Johnny Dakota with the marijuana in the bathroom, and you're not Kelly refusing to smoke the dope. You need to make sure you do the work, all right? Auction is fun. It takes a lot of work in order to be successful at it, but that's part of the reason why it's fun, is because you get to think about fantasy football a lot. Now, the fourth lesson goes around drinking and driving. So now in season four, there's an episode called Drinking and Driving, and Zach and Lisa and Screech and Slater end up getting drunk at an after party in anticipation for their upcoming homecoming game. The driver, who's Zach, ends up getting the group into a car accident because he's intoxicated, and they begin to tell lies to their families. Since the car belongs to Lisa's mom, they have to get it towed to Zach's house until they can figure out a way to get it repaired. I don't know if you remember them trying to figure out how to fix it up so that Lisa's mom wouldn't find out. Well, when Zach's dad begins to question why the car is in the garage, the group has to come clean and say why they got into an accident. So, drinking and driving. First of all, don't do that at your draft. Absolutely. Secondly, I'm not saying don't drink at your draft, because I sure as heck do, but just make sure you keep it in check. The draft is a long process. It's so long you can ask one of our auctioneers who decided that he was going to have a drink every round, and he started off the first couple rounds thinking, oh, it's going slow. So we had two or three. And by about, you know, midway through the draft, well, the auctioneer wasn't doing so well. So I'm not saying don't drink. Just keep it in check. It's a long process. You need to stay active. You need to stay engaged. You need to stay focused. And you never know when the deals are going to come. So if you're up taking a pee break because you drank too much and you miss a deal, that's on you. If you're too drunk and laughing with the guy beside you and you miss a deal, that's on you. Drink, have fun. It's supposed to be fun. But just make sure that you do it in moderation, because you don't want to have all of this prep work that you're doing, listening to all these podcasts, spending the money for websites like ours, and then get into the draft and miss out on a deal because you weren't in the right frame of mind, you weren't there, you weren't paying attention, whatever the case may be. So it's super important to stay engaged, okay? So that also includes the two different ways that you can actually, I don't know, have any influence on the draft. And that's with your nominations and with your bidding. Okay. So you need to be ahead of the game. You need to be thinking, who am I going to nominate next? You need to have that little scrap piece of paper, which is what I do, with two or three names there. These are the guys I'm going to nominate next. And sometimes it's not those guys on your list, because let's say Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen just came off the board. So you're like, screw it. I'm putting up Kyler Murray. I'm putting up Lamar Jackson. I'm putting up Justin Herbert. I'm doing another big name quarterback to get some big money out there because the prices were high and it means I'm going to get deals later. Or maybe it's, sneaking in a Ramondre Stevenson early and guys don't want to spend money on him. Well, maybe after the news that they're looking to move Damian Harris, maybe, but if it's before that, maybe guys don't want to pay up because they're going to pay up for Damian Harris and you sneak him in for a couple of bucks. Maybe that's how you do your nomination. Maybe, just maybe, it's about driving money and getting it out there too, right? And sometimes that's how it works. But remember that nomination is one of two ways. It's 50% of how you can actually have an influence on your auction draft. So nominations shouldn't just be a checklist and just go off of the best player available and go from there. There's strategy behind it. And at different points in the draft is when different strategy has to come into play. And it's in the old days, it used to be always nominate guys you don't want. It's not like that anymore. People are too savvy. Auction's too big now. You need to develop a strategy of when you're going to nominate someone you want, when you're going to nominate someone you don't want, when you're nominating somebody in order to keep a quarterback run going, or when you nominate someone because you're trying to slip in a deal here and there. Sometimes I want to nominate somebody who is going to provide me with a price point at a certain tier that I'm interested in. And again, the first couple of guys off that tier, I don't necessarily want to get at, but I want to know a price point. I want to kind of know in anticipation of where this draft is going, what the rest of the room feels like this tier is worth. So that's another way that I work my nominations, okay? And so, again, no drinking and driving. You need to make sure you're staying engaged. That involves bidding as well. You need to stay active in your bidding. That's the only other thing you can do to influence the draft. That's the only other control that you have. So you need to influence the draft by doing bidding. Sometimes it's quick bidding. Sometimes it's slow bidding. Sometimes it's going up by five. Sometimes it's not. It's keeping the other players in the room always guessing at what you're trying to do. Don't just bid on the guys you want, because then when you're doing that and you're going head to head with somebody, they know you want them. Don't always last minute Charlie a guy. All right. Don't be that guy when it's going once, going twice, 52. Don't be that guy. All right. But you can be active early in the bidding. You can be active not until the middle of the bidding. You can maybe hit one sort of late in the bidding. Keep the room guessing at what you're trying to do. Those are the two ways you can influence the draft. And if you're too drunk, you're not going to nominate properly and you're not going to bid properly. So the drinking and driving episode, that's where that one comes in. I'm not saying don't drink because I absolutely do, but make sure you keep it in check because it's a long, long draft and you need to make sure that you are participating in the draft the best that you can. Now, the fifth one is the importance of friends. So in season 3, there's an episode called The Rockumentary. This is where Zach falls asleep before his band's rehearsal and dreams that he and his friends are part of Zach Attack. Remember the band Zach Attack? They're a world famous band. The band becomes famous and Zach and his friends are known worldwide. The band ultimately splits up due to the group's infighting, jealousy, and rumors. The group and the band eventually reunite, reconcile, and pledge to be friends forever. And they sing that stupid song. Anyways, the importance of friends is the fifth lesson. And here's a couple things with the importance of friends. Number one, have some quote unquote friends in the industry. You know, sites that you like, sites that you trust, and use them to help you prep. It could be our site. It could be Fantasy Pros because there's these consensus rankings on there. It's RotoViz. It's the footballers. It's Player Profiler. It's whatever. Have some quote unquote friends in the industry, sites you trust, and use those to help you develop your rankings and your tiers. Okay. And not just us. Don't just listen to us. We're just three dudes in the middle of nowhere in Canada. Use a variety of different sources. That's what I do because there's certain sites that I trust and certain rankings that I feel are more accurate. And I use the consensus rankings off Fantasy Pros a lot to help me with different things. Okay. But have those friends in the industry, trust them and help, let them help you with your preparation. don't do it off the magazine. The magazine's a joke. The magazine is written in March. It's printed in April. It's released in May. And it doesn't know that Baker Mayfield moved to the Panthers. Okay? It doesn't know the injuries. It doesn't know that maybe Mason Rudolph is going to be the starting quarterback in Pittsburgh. It doesn't know those things. All right? And when you look at those magazines, they maybe have one page of auction. Maybe. If you're lucky. They might have auction values on there, quote unquote, from March, based on ADP, not based on where guys are actually going or what they're actually doing. So the importance of friends, the importance of knowing people in the industry, not personally knowing them, but knowing their sites, knowing and trusting their opinions and their rankings and their suggestions and their team builds and all of those things. That's super important. And then the second thing when it comes to this episode on the Rockumentary and Friends Forever. I wish I could sing that song. I'm not gonna. Anyways, the importance of friends and the Friends Forever is, remember that fantasy football is supposed to be fun. So have fun. All right? Especially if you're in a live draft, it's an absolute blast. Have fun. Go after the guys you want. If you've got a rule, like a buddy of mine I know has a rule where it's, you can't draft, you can't, his favorite team is the Packers, and you can't draft anyone else from the division. It's ridiculous. I mean, you can't get Justin Jefferson, you can't get Dalvin Cook, you can't get DeAndre Swift, you can't get Justin Fields. Anyways, like, if that's a rule you have, because it makes it fun for you, then have fun. Make that rule, okay? Laugh and joke with your buddies, eat and drink and do all of those things. Fantasy football at the end of the day is about having fun. Some guys do it and it's their business, it's their job. They do 500, 1,000 different drafts and this is about making money, right? But for you, this is most likely for fun. So have fun, all right? Fantasy football is supposed to be fun. Do it with your friends. Have a great time. Do the prep. It makes it even more fun when you're prepared. But laugh and joke and poke fun at your buddies and have special rules and inside jokes and eat and drink and go out afterwards and, you know, stand around after and go through everyone's lineup and talk about who got deals and who didn't and whose team you like and whose team you don't like. Those are all the fun things when it comes to doing fantasy football, in particular doing an auction draft. So we only get to do this usually just during the month of August. It's like, star it on your calendar. Your husband knows, your wife knows, whoever lives in your house knows that you got a big draft. So have fun when you're doing it. It's an important day. And so make it an important day. What we're doing for our big home league this year with Slim and Blister and, if I do the math, 11 other guys plus two different auctioneers, we're going on a road trip about 3 hours from here. We're going to golf during the day, have a few bevvies. It's going to be a good time. We're renting hotel rooms. We're going to go to Buffalo Wild Wings and do our draft there. We have some stupid rules during there to make it fun. If you nominate someone who's already been picked, you either have to buy shots or you have to do push-ups out in the restaurant, for instance. Like, we have goofy little rules like that. We have a great time. We are away from home. We are, for the most part, teachers, so you can't really do it in our small town because everyone knows who we are. So there, we're kind of anonymous. We can have a lot more fun. And we make it a spectacle, which is fantastic. And then we sleep it off. We get up in the morning. We drive home. We're back to our families by noon, and everything's good. But that night, it's all about that night. It's not about anything else. So have fun. All right? So let's recap what we learned from Saved by the Bell that is going to help you with your auction this year. Number one, proper money management. Remember, this isn't a 90s sitcom. You need to be flexible. You need to have a budget. You need to keep track of your budget. Number two, trying to achieve perfection. Okay? So just like Jesse's song, all right, when Kelly and Jesse and Lisa formed this band, right, and poor Jesse goes over the edge and starts taking caffeine pills, You can't achieve perfection. Sometimes it's about letting the auction come to you. It's about letting the guys you want slip away. Remember, it's about drafting tiers, all right? But let the draft come to you. Number three, no hope with dope, all right? Don't be the Johnny Dakota. Don't be looking for the miracle drug that's going to help you win your draft. You need to do the work. You need to create the tiers. You need to be flexible. You need to do all those things yourself. It's the prep that's important. No drinking and driving. I'm not saying don't drink, but it's a long process. Make sure you're engaged. And with that, remember, there's two things that you can control in the auction, your nominations and your bidding. And you need to be active. You need to be aware. And you need to be taking control of those situations when you can. And finally, the importance of friends. Have sites that you trust. Use them for your prep. And just have a good time with your buddies. Okay? Because that's what this is all about. So, I don't normally do too many premium podcasts. They usually come from Slim and sometimes from Blister. But I woke up this morning and I just thought, you know what? I should put one out there for you guys. So, there you go. These are the five things that you learned from Saved by the Bell that will help you with your auction draft. Now, remember, go to the website, click on the sheets. Blister and Slim are updating their tiers. I'm almost finished my Dynasty startup, so you can have all those values in there on my sheet. Plus, you can take a look at the industry mock draft that we did. All those numbers are in there. My template's there. I got a video on how to use my sheet. So when you're finished listening to this, go over there, start going through the sheets, start doing your homework, and remember what Saved by the Bell taught you when it comes to auction fantasy drafting.